To kick off, anybody here ready for the Word of God? Yes. I'm telling you what, the Word of God's alive, and I'll tell you, the Word of God's life changing. It's so great to have the Dockerys here in the house. Y'all give them a hello in the Lord and a shout out, and their family to us, and we got to be a part of the Longhorn family together. And Cedric, I'm going to tell you what I told Chris last weekend. Thank you for the memories, man. Because, brother, I still celebrate victories. I hit the rewind button. And so, hook 'em horns on all that. But anyway, I count it an honor to have family here. So, thank you so much. And if you want to claim those seats, we'll let you. We may move you up a little. But wherever I am, you're welcome. Amen. I think you know that's true. Well, let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah for your word, Lord. We're excited for your word. And we're still on the series, Power of Praise. And there's so much in this because this is out of my life. Some sermons are out of the mind. They affect mind. Some of them out of the hearts. They affect hearts. But messages out of the lives can affect lives. I have to live this. Okay, I was in a situation, and you'll be here next week, Live in Living Color, where I'm going to share with you part of the dark part of my journey. And, you know, I had to park here to survive. But in parking here to survive, I learned to thrive. And it wasn't because of Tim, it was because of Jesus. And I went through a dark time where, I'll tell you what, a lot of people left me. All right, and you know, I'm not throwing any stones at them. I love them. I bless them. Some of them have come back around and all that kind of stuff. There's one guy here that stuck with me through it all, and that's Tim Heath. Hey, man, thank you. And he stood by me when I wasn't talking right. He stood by me when I was struggling, weighing back and forth. Okay? He loved me enough to hear my heart, and yes, he would speak correction to me, but he'd love me through it. And man, I honor you. I do. My family knows I do. Okay? The Hall family, thanks God, they call him Little Tim. Can you imagine? They call him Little Tim. Kind of like Little Cedric, you know. They call him Little Tim. Little Dockery. But I'm telling you, I'm grateful for you the rest of my life. I'm committed to you, bro. And I thank God for you. Well, here we are. This is real. And I want to tell you, this is so real. I got so much confidence that if you'll practice this, you're going to see God in your life in greater measure than you have before. And you're going to learn how to walk in the things that God has for you. Does that sound like good news? Okay, well, this is part 7. You ought to know where I'm going by now. And so Philippians 4:4-13, I'm going to kind of read through this pretty quick to get to where I want to go. If you haven't caught up with me, listen to podcasts. Those on podcasts, we welcome you this morning. We love you. We love investing in you. And or get a CD on the way out the door, but you got to catch up with us. Philippians 4:4-13, I've covered so much of this. Rejoice in the Lord some of the time. Yeah, you've been listening. When he said always, does he mean always? Yeah, look at this. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Now, I want to tell you, this is something that all of us can do. If you know Jesus, this is something you can do. Holy Spirit's in you to help you with this. And just to make sure he understands that he's not just doing preacher talk, he says it again. And again I say, rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. See, that's what love is. Love is unselfishness. When you see selfishness, I don't care who it's in. If it's in me, you see selfishness, that's not love. Okay? But I want to tell you, unselfishness, love, is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is fruit of the Spirit language. Your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. See, that was a part of our confessions this morning. And that's fruit of the Spirit language. Let everyone see the Spirit of God lives and dwells in you. Let everyone recognize that there's an expectation that you are conscious of the Lord's presence, that you are expecting His return. I was telling you about Pastor Chris coming to my house. Well, when I found out he was coming, he didn't always give me a lot of heads up, you know. Sons have that privilege. He gave me a heads up that he was coming. I said, "What's your ETA?" He told me the day. I text back and said, "What hour are you going to arrive?" Because there were some things I wanted done before him and another minister arrived. You understand that? There were some things around the house. There was some food to get ready. There was some preparation, okay, to get ready. And there was an expectation of his arrival. Now, I want to tell you, I did things different that day than I normally do on that day because I was expecting his arrival. I am telling you, when you have a consciousness of his presence. Oh, we did a series on that. Amen. When you're conscious of his presence and enjoying his presence, people can sense God on you. They can sense God with you. The Bible says we're a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. You know what that means? You smell like Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus looks good on you. Jesus smells good on you, but it comes from a consciousness of him. It's more than what's said. It's the being. Okay? And not only that, when we have an expectation that this could be the day of his return, you will handle yourself differently today than you normally would. Wow. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Oh, no. This means anything but finances. No. Does it mean anything but sickness? No. Does it mean anything but trouble with people? Hey, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance, you get it? And in everything, by prayer, petition, definite request, and I did a teaching on this, you need to go here, with thanksgiving, shortly, just make it a Thanksgiving sandwich. Before, during, and after. It need to be saturated with thanksgiving and praise. Continue to seek him. Continue to listen to him. Continue to open up your heart to him. And God's peace shall be yours. This is what God wants. Okay? He paid for it. He expects it. This is your birthright. This is God's desire and God's will for you. And he's just showing us here how to receive it and how to walk in it. God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. That means that they're walking in love. Because I want to tell you, if you're not walking in love, you fear God in the wrong way. When you're walking in love with God, you fear him the right way. Okay? Fearing nothing from God, because you're assured of his love for you. And being content, oh, there it is right there. Somebody circle that. Draw a stick figure there. That needs to be you. That's what God wants for you. That's what he paid for you. And being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that kind of peace that brings contentment, no matter what the circumstances are. Do you see that? Which transcends understanding. Shall garrison, this is talking about the peace. Let me tell you how to spell the peace in case you haven't been here. You spell peace by J-E-S-U-S. J-E-S-U-S. He is your peace. It's not an emotion. It's not emotion. It's a presence. It's him. He's the Lord. He's your peace. He shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now let's understand, it's not in working up some distraction exercises. It's not in doing this or taking, no. It's J-E-S-U-S. And he mounts garrison because he is your peace. In other words, mount garrison, he becomes your bodyguard. He becomes the guard of your soul. He comes to guard your mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep you in perfect peace as you keep your mind on me. And this is how you receive peace. It's available for all of us because Jesus wants this for you. Verse 8, he shows us how to walk in it. It's one thing to receive God's peace. It's another thing to walk in it. He shows us in verse 8 how to walk in it. Anybody interested? For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, honorable, seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on, think on, think on, meditate on, weigh and take account. Fix it up in your mind. Go over and over it again. Fix your minds. Focus on these things. If it doesn't have that ingredient, those ingredients in it, don't let it in. When the airplanes are flying by and say, I want to land, I'll make you feel good. I'll make it seem good. This will be fun. You look on the side of the plane and you use the discernment that the Holy Spirit has in you. If in doubt, ask. And he will show you. But if it on the side of the plane, if it doesn't say verse 8, say to this plane, keep on going. Don't let it land. You've heard Pastor James say, you can't keep birds from flying over, but you can keep them from building a nest. That's good. Verse 9 shows us to practice. I want to tell you, if you make one swing at this, and you say, it didn't work for me, it's not going to work for you. But I want to tell you, if you practice this, I want to tell you, you're looking at somebody who's never done anything perfectly. I told someone this week, I never played one ball game perfectly. Never had a perfect ball game. I still don't. But I want to tell you, I'm practicing. And I want to tell you something real precious. The more you practice, because you see, the Bible says spiritual exercise availeth little. But spiritual exercise availeth much. And I want to tell you, when you practice these principles, these simple things that Paul, verse 4 through 8, showed us to do to receive peace, when you practice that, leaning and trusting in the Lord, you'll get it. Sometimes you may miss it, but when you practice, you're going to be seeing it more and more and more. Your batting average is going to go up. So much victory in that. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. He practiced this personally. This wasn't a sermon. This was a lifestyle for him. And he's telling the saints, you know me. You've seen me live this. I've taught you. I've showed you. Practice this. Live it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that love to have this today, and they can. Personal practice. You know what we're talking about? Rest versus fear. Okay? There's a big difference. We did a series on walking in his rest, receiving his rest versus fear. Jesus is your peace, and he will manifest his peace to you. Anybody here like that? Verse 10, I'm going to cover in just a moment. It's talking about people that ministered to him. And in verse 11, he's describing that it's not because that the Lord was not ministering to me. He was receiving ministry from the Lord, but it was very precious blessing when the Lord loves on you through other people. The Lord loves to do both. We're going there in just a minute. And he's learned how to be content. There it is. Circle it. Put the stick figure there. It's got your name on it. Satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. Does that mean? That means he's walking in peace. And whatever circumstance is happening, whatever state he's in, he's learned to walk in peace. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. Now that's not prospering. That's not being on the up. That's being on the down. You understand what he's saying? He says, I know how. And I'm going to tell you, you repeat after me, by praise and giving thanks. That's how he's learned. That's what he knows how to do. When things aren't going well, when things are in the down, he still praises and giving thanks. He rejoices evermore. I want to announce to you that this is the key to the kingdom. This is the key to the kingdom from Jesus to you. He said, I give you my peace. Before he left, one of the main things that he passed off as a key to the kingdom to his disciples before he left, he said, my peace I give you. His peace. This is what we're talking about here. Paul's describing what his peace is like. And so even in living in abased and in humble and straitened circumstances, he praises and giving thanks, and he rejoices evermore. I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. You know what he does? He praises and giving thanks. Okay, this is important. Okay, don't look at it, well, I'm waiting for something good to happen before I praise the Lord. No. Okay, the world to do something like that. You're more than human. You got the Spirit of God in you. And we're to praise God, rejoice evermore, to praise Him in all things, through all things. And you know what? It's a greater test when you got plenty and you're living in abundance than when it is when you're abased and living humbly. Well, that was such a loud amen. I nearly got knocked down on that one. Let me get a good stance here. No. Do you remember the Lord told the children of Israel, now when you go in the promised land, you're going to receive houses you didn't build. I'm telling you, the wine's going to flow, the olive gardens and the vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to be so blessed, land of milk and honey. And he said, be warned about this. Don't forget me in your blessing. And I want to tell you, when people are hurting and down, you know what? They call upon the Lord. That's a good thing to do. Praise and give thanks. Okay, but I want to tell you, when things are going well, there's a human tendency for you to say, look what I've done. Woo! I just something, ain't I? I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm telling you, I got it going on. No, 1,000 times no. It's all about Jesus. And I want to tell you, when things are down and when things are good, we need to practice what Paul's showing us to do here, and we need to practice giving thanks. Praise and thanksgiving. It goes like this. I've learned in any and all circumstances the secret. Anybody want to know the secret of facing every situation? It's praise and give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Whether well fed or hungry. Give thanks. Celebrate. Rejoice. Having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Praise and thanksgiving. You know what it does? It turns the valve. I'll tell you what, I need my valve out here. Would you mind getting it? I'm going to have to use it today. I about talked myself out of it this morning. But I can see that we're going to need it. Praise and thanksgiving puts you in a place to focus and receive from God. It turns your eyes from yourself and the problems of the world and puts your focus on Jesus. And when you esteem Jesus, things happen. When you focus on Jesus, things happen. Okay? I know that this is called the power of praise and thanksgiving, because there is power when you practice praise and thanksgiving. But I want to tell you something. Praise and thanksgiving doesn't just change your circumstances. No, it starts with this. In your spirit, you praise. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You agree with what God says in your spirit and you praise. It comes out through your body. And you know what it changes first? You. Amen. Praise and thanksgiving changes you. Amen. Now I know a lot of prayer requests this morning about outside circumstances, situations, relationships, financial, in the body. But I want to tell you what the Lord wants to do first. He wants insight. He wants insight. I want to tell you, one of the best things you can do to expedite God working on the in your body and on the outside is to allow Him to work on the inside. Yes, Lord. Now, I want to tell you, do you see this? Power of praise and thanksgiving? You're agreeing with your spirit, what Jesus is in you, what the Word of God says through your soul. But I want to tell you, there's a real possibility of us turning the valve. You see this right here? I want to tell you what happens with the valve. We turn it. You can cut it off. You understand that? Well, Brother Tim, how do we cut it off? Well, I did a whole series on it, but here it is. instead of praise and thanksgiving, you become anxious in things. Are you listening? The Bible said be anxious for nothing. Hey, rejoice. Rejoice. And I want to tell you, when you become anxious and you start to worry, I want to tell you, we turn the valve. It's still coming from God. I want to tell you, God loves you. Amen. It's decided in Christ. He's pouring it on. We're not receiving when we're filled with anxiety and worry, fear. Is anybody listening? Yeah. What about anger? What about bitterness? What about unbelief? Come on. But I'm telling you, we have a chooser inside of us. We can practice the Word of God. Don't wait till you feel like it. All right? We can turn the valve and we can obey the Word of God. We can say yes to God. We can turn the valve and begin to praise and give thanks to God. And you know what? It opens up for us to receive what God has for us. This is the secret. I can have peace, joy, and love. I can be in the position to receive when I practice praise and thanksgiving. Look what he says in verse 13. This is how, you say, this is how he receives. I want to tell you how far the receiving goes, because this is for you, 2019. I have strength for all things in Christ. It's getting a little bit quieter in here. Are we getting personal? It's all right if it's the Lord. For all things in Christ, who empowers me. Remember, spirit, soul, body. Okay, we're receiving. The valve's open. We're receiving. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Here we are. Out of the spirit, into the soul, out through the body, into our circumstances in life, other people splashing off on others. Okay? I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The Bible says that we're full. We're filled with the fullness of God in our spirit. Praise affects you. It changes you. Praise affects the devil. It's a weapon against the devil. Praise blesses our Father. This is how you love on Father. And He loves praise and thanksgiving. Give Him what He loves. Give Him what He deserves. Give Him what He's worthy of. Don't wait till something good happens. Don't let praise and thanksgiving be a result of something. Let it be a way of life. Let it, like Paul, be a life decision. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will. We probably need to back up and say, I will. Because there's days we say, I maybe. There's days we say, I don't think so. But I want to tell you, this day that the Lord's given us, it's His day. You're His. He's worthy of it. No matter what our circumstances look like, He's worthy. And you know what? We need to be determined and make a decision ahead of time that this is the day the Lord has made. I will. Somebody say, I will.
I will.
I will be faithful. I will praise Him. Being determined in my heart, I'm going to practice praise and thanksgiving no matter what. Hey, I will not let my heart be troubled. Okay? Isn't that what Jesus said? My peace I give to you. Let not. That means there's a choice in there. Yeah, you better believe it is. There's a chooser. Let not. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up. As much as I love the beautiful blonde, and yes, our peace overflows and splashes off on others around us. Thank God for ministry to each other. We're to minister to each other what the Lord ministers to us. But I cannot let not for her. Do you understand that? It's personal. You have to choose to let not your heart be troubled. You have to choose to rejoice and give thanks and receive peace from God. It's not something someone can do for you. It's on you. Hey, listen to him. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm telling you, There's a way here. He always makes a way. You're in control. You're in the driver's seat. You say, well, no, I'm not. It's my circumstances. Well, this is needs to be a change. Okay? Hey, we're not supposed to live by our emotions. We're supposed to be people of faith. It's by faith, not by sight. It's not by our senses. It's by the Spirit. It's by what God says. And you know what? We have to make some cold-hearted choices sometimes. Okay? Against our flesh to say yes to God. Submit to God, the Bible says. Resist the devil. He'll run away. Because Jesus has won the victory. But he wants us to be people of I will. People that will be determined. We receive by choosing to continually give praise and thanksgiving. I tell you what, praise and thanksgiving will change your attitude. Changes your thoughts. You got a bad attitude? I want to tell you, you've been having bad thoughts. We can go back there. You're depressed. You've been having bad thoughts. Now, nobody's throwing stones at you because we live in this fallen world and we wear this stuff right here called flesh. We understand how we get there. But if you're a believer, you don't have to park there. Okay? Turn the valve. Let's practice by faith and not by feeling. Hey, praise and thanksgiving changes you, changes your attitude. If it changes your attitude, it'll change your actions. Amen. It changes your perspective on how you see God because it gives you glasses to see God when you practice praise and thanksgiving. It gives you glasses to see what God's doing in your life. It gives you glasses to see your circumstances, every how bad or sad they are, under the view of God. I just got to tell you, being negative changes you too. Yes, it does. Being negative and critical, moaning and groaning changes you too. Okay? God said it over again. Choose life. God says, I offer you life. Here's death, I offer you life. And he says over and over, choose life. We reap what we sow. We've talked about that. You know that's true. Well, here's one for you. You know, your words are seeds. Okay, your words are seed. You say, "Well, I'm believing God." Then you go around and speak stuff as anti-God. Okay, wait a minute. Your words are seeds. The Bible's real, real clear. We eat the very fruit of our lips. You know what that means? What you say comes back as a full meal. You may speak an ingredient or two, but it comes back as a full meal, and you eat it. You eat the very fruit of your lips. So don't speak the negative, groaning, moaning, anti-God stuff. We got to say what God says. When you say what God says, you're sowing the seeds of the incorruptible seed that will come back as harvest in your life. You say, well, I don't feel good. Well, I don't either. But I'll tell you what's not going to happen. I'm not going to go around moaning and groaning. I don't feel good. I just don't feel good. I don't feel good. No, no, no. Wait, wait, wait. By his stripes, I'm healed. That's what the Bible says. By his mercy, he touches me. By his love, he heals me. By his word, I receive his best for me. Okay? Now, you know, you say, well, I don't really mean them. Whoa, wait, 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 wait. Let me back up the truck then a little bit. You know, your thoughts are seeds too. We already talked about it. I'm telling you, Paul made it real, real clear that our thoughts need to be about him. Our thoughts need to be something that he would be pleased with. We need to park there. We need to meditate on him and not the junk of the world. Bible's real, real clear that the spiritual mind produces life and the normal human mind produces death. Choose life. Put your mind on the Word of God and begin to meditate on it and think on it and park there. You say, well, Brother Tim, you're going a little bit too far. Well, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, you may be what you eat physically. I'm not parking there too long. But you are what you think spiritually. Wow. Okay, so praise is a decision. Well, let's look at this. Philippians 4:10. How am I doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. This is good. 4:10 says this. I was made very happy in the Lord. Now that you've revived your interest in my welfare after so long a time, you were indeed thinking of me, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now look, what's happening here is that there were some people that he had ministered to in the past, and they made contact with him, and they ministered to him back. Now I want to tell you, we all need ministry from Jesus personally. That needs to be continual. It needs to be matter of fact. That needs to be an automatic. And he wants to do that. But it's also good to let Jesus love on you through people. This is why one of the first tricks that the enemy will do on people, one of the first traps, is to isolate them from the people of God. Don't let the enemy isolate you. That's a trap. Okay? That'll mess you up. God never designed us to be the Lone Ranger. It's not you and Jesus got your own thing going. No, it's not. It's called the body of Christ. And we need one another. And the primary part of it is however the Lord's loving and ministering to you, he wants to love on others with the way he's ministering to you. That's life in the body. And he also wants you to receive it from people. You say, well, I don't need that. Well, I shouldn't have to have... Well, we need one another. Sometimes you just need Jesus with skin on. And he's able to do that, thank God. I shared with you earlier today, Tim Heath's been that to me in the past. Okay? When a lot of people wouldn't. I'm thankful for him. Look, your primary purpose here is to learn how to receive from Jesus personally. Paul did that. He practiced his presence. He stood on the promises. And we proceed. We progress by grace through faith. We practice receiving. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he will teach you how to do this. Okay? And then, yes, he does want to love on you through others, and he wants you to love on others. But let me give you a little example here. You know, the younger a human is, the more TLC they have to have. Okay? Now, the older they get, you don't ever outgrow needing some TLC. But I want to tell you, the younger you are, you understand this, the more them babies have to have complete care for a while. But I want to tell you, I work with teenagers, and by the time they get into the youth group, if they can't do anything by themselves, can't make a decision for themselves, can't do little simple things for themselves, then you know, I have to encourage them. You know what? You be a big boy and girl now. It's time to grow up. And you know, sometimes with church folk, with sheep, you know, they've been saved for a number of years, and they still act like a baby. I just need complete care. I just need somebody to do it all for me. No, let me whisper something to you. Well, I'm going to say it louder than a whisper. It's time for us to grow up in the Lord. He's designed and destined us to grow up in the Lord. And part of the way we learn to do that is how to receive from him. He's your source. If you've got to get everything in your spiritual journey from Pastor James, you're wrong. You're missing out. Okay? You don't have to, for the rest of your Christian life, just eat, only eating you do is off someone else's plate. Off a bottle. You know, there comes a time where you shouldn't have to have your diaper changed. That's as far as I'm going. Okay. And all the saints said. Okay, look. We all need ministry. Something I'll thank God for you in this is that a number of the pastors I minister to, there's been a couple over the holidays that have said this. And I say we. I don't say me. I say we. Because you're part of everything I do. Because you help me do what I do full time. Okay? And so whatever I do, you're a part of. But I want to tell you, I had a couple of them share during the holidays that, brother, over the last year, you've been the greatest source of encouragement for our ministry. And I want to tell you, that's very precious to me. Because the Lord showed me that when I touch another pastor, hey, we touch everybody that he touches. You see how the kingdom works? And so it's not just about us. It's about others. But I want to tell you, it needs to start somewhere. If you're not receiving, you have nothing to give. Come on. Okay. Very important that the people you hang with build you up and not batter you. I could stay there for a while. Okay. Verse 11. Now, I'm not implying that I was in any personal want. You see there? He's backing it up and saying, even though the Lord loving on me through you was very precious and I need, that's good, but I want you to understand that the Lord, I'm depending on the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you, that might have went over your head. That's very important. Because we can't look to people for our expectation. We need to look to the Lord. You say, well, they ought to. No, I'm telling you, it's God. Look to God. Okay? Not that I'm implying that I was in personal want, for I have learned how to be content. There it is, circle it. And satisfied. Now, if he was satisfied, it means that he had confidence in the love of God. That even though things weren't at their best, he was confident in the love of God. That it's on the way, it's coming, God will give me grace. That's peace. Are you hearing that? It's praise with thanksgiving. He knows how to be content. It's praise with thanksgiving. It's rejoicing evermore. Now I want you to back up and see that in verse 11. I ought to have it circled. He says, for I have learned. Would you all say that? I have learned. Now who taught him? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Because I don't want you, you know, hollering out, getting embarrassed. I want to tell you who taught him. Holy Spirit taught him. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit in us, he's our teacher. So don't go from here saying, well, Brother Tim taught me. No, don't do that. You and I both know if you get anything, it's from God. The Holy Spirit taught you. He didn't want to open your heart, open your eyes, highlighted it, made it personal to you. It was Jesus. Okay. So when you leave here, you don't go talking about Brother Tim. You go talk about Jesus. Amen. Brag on Jesus. Saints, give me an amen here.
Amen.
Thank you. Now look, it goes like this. He had to learn it. The Holy Spirit taught him because he's our teacher. That's what he says. That's one of his main names. Jesus said, I'm sending one just like me going to dwell inside of you. He's a teacher. He'll teach you, remind you all things. So look, he learned it. I want to say this to you. You can learn this. It's God's will for you to learn this. And you know what? He wants you. He will teach you. You know, well, I don't know. Ask him. I double dog dare you to say, Jesus, teach me how to learn to be at peace in all things. And you know what? Heaven's shouting, it's on. It's on. And he'll personally teach you. Look at this peace. This is peace. Satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed and disquieted. I'm not disturbed. I'm not letting my heart be troubled. No matter what the circumstance or situation is, I'm not letting my heart be troubled because I'm in peace. Wow. That's good. So, let me explain this to you. Because this hit me not too long ago. It's important for us to be at peace, to be content in the Lord no matter the situation. Be content but not complacent. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Be content, not complacent. In other words, we're content. We're filled with the peace of God no matter what the situation is. But we have hope. Hey, we have hope. The hope is for the Lord to bring honor and glory to himself in whatever our situation is. Our hope to receive from the Lord his best for us and what he wants that'll bring him the most honor and glory. Content, not complacent. He was facing possible execution. Any day, he could have been, it's your day, head off today. You think you're living under something? We're going to cover next week some of the things he was under. But he learned, everybody say learned, to be content. And so, no excuse is a reason to refuse to rejoice, praise, and give thanks. We don't wait till everything's clear before we rejoice. I want to tell you, if Mr. and Miss Sad show up on your doorstep of your mind this week, I want to tell you, you renounce them in the name of Jesus. You speak to the mountain of sadness. You submit to God. Resist the enemy. Speak to the mountain about what God says. It'll be taken up, thrown into the sea. That's something God does. Our part is to resist. Somebody needs to have some "I will" in them that's determined. That I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to give thanks. Hey, I'm going to love and submit to the Lord, receive from the Lord. I'm going to resist the enemy and he will flee. If Mr. Bad shows up, do the same thing. If Mr. Mad shows up, do the same thing. Whatever these situations are, by faith, God's provided by his grace. All we need to do is say yes to God. It starts out by saying yes to God. Submit to God. Say yes to God. That's what faith is. And receive the power of God's peace and love and joy by practicing praise and thanksgiving. That's one of your weapons of warfare. You say, well, Paul just... No, no, Paul practiced this. In Acts 16:25, I don't think we have that. In Acts 16:25, it's describing that him and Silas were not doing anything wrong. They were preaching the gospel. They were doing something God wanted them to do. They were sharing the good news of Jesus. It upset the townsfolk. They got together, rallied against them, and actually beat them up in the street. And the authorities came and threw them in jail. And it was such a disturbance that they threw them down in the lower part of the jail, which is the dungeon part. And it was about midnight at night. The Bible says they had them in stocks, so they were chained and in stocks. And it was in the dungeon, and it was not a pleasant circumstance. James was not on the piano at New Beginnings Fellowship there, leading them in praise and worship. They were done wrong. They could have been singing "Somebody Done Me Wrong" song. But you know what they were doing? They were practicing verse 8. What's coming into the mind? Worthy of him. Honor. Esteeming him. Praising him. Those things that are bringing him honor and glory. And you know what they decided to do in the dungeon? Huh? In stocks. Being treated wrong. They began to praise and worship God. They began to rejoice evermore. They began to rejoice in all things. And I want to tell you, God did a great miracle that night. And they weren't praising to get free. I've heard that preached. They were praising because they loved God. And he was practicing verse 4 through 8 before it was written. They were thinking and meditating on those things in verse 8 while in a horrible situation. Paul said, "I have learned. Let the Holy Spirit teach you." Anxiety, worry, doubt, unbelief closes the valve. You can keep the valve open by submitting to God and practicing praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Wow. What about when you've been done wrong? What about when you're thrown in prison and you don't deserve to be there? What about at all times? "I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." John 16:33. This is what Jesus was saying. And I want to tell you what. I want to pray over you today some righteous indignation. That people will leave here to do battle and receive victory on the inside so that we can see victory on the outside. It needs to happen in here, before it happens out there. Now God can do it any way he wants to. I say yes to however God wants to do it, but this is a pattern of the Lord. This is one of the ways he likes to operate. Jesus said this, "I have told you these things." Somebody say his word. He's given us his word. "So that in me," this is in Christ, "personally received, no one can do for you." You have to receive this from the Lord. "So that in me," you, put your name on it. This is for you. "You may have perfect Jesus peace." Perfect peace and confidence. Does that sound like faith to you? That's one of the descriptions of faith, is having confidence in God. "In the world, you will have trouble, tribulations, trials, and distress and frustration." And everybody said, we know that's true. He's not telling you that this will make a Disney World experience out of this earthly journey. This is battlefield. We know this is true as humans. But this is what he says. He says, but you don't have to park there. Be of good cheer. And we be of good cheer by rejoicing, praising, and giving thanks by faith till we receive peace and joy and love. Good cheer. That kind of peace in the Lord brings you courage, confident, and certain and undaunted. Now that's a missing ingredient in church life. Okay? It's the praise Jesus factor. We know as humans, troubles, trials, distress, and frustration come. But as believers, we ought to know a greater reality that Jesus gives us courage. He gives us peace. His kind of peace gives us courage, confidence, and we're undaunted in Him. We got confidence in Him. We need to know this, and we need to prove it with our life. Now, all this is possible because of Jesus. He says, for I have overcome the world. Are you seeing this? I have overcome all the tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Does that fit? I've overcome the world. Whatever's facing you, whatever mountain is disturbing you, He has overcome it. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Wow! Glory to God. Hallelujah to the highest. Now, the mountain won't say that. The mountain will say, I'm going to crush you. You're done. You're through. You're finished. You're no good for nothing. All you're going to do is circle the mountain again. Okay? But that's not what Jesus says. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Now, let me say this. Your mountain doesn't need to be called your mountain. It needs to be recognized as from the enemy. Okay? The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So this trial does not have power to harm me. I want to tell you, that's different than the way humans think. You need to think like a believer. Matter of fact, somebody needs to confess this right now. Would you just repeat after me? This trial does not have power to harm me. Jesus has conquered this trial on the cross. He proved it by resurrection. This mountain is a defeated foe. This is what Jesus said. Now, it's an option. I want to tell you it's an option because He's not going to force you. Okay? But He paid the price for you to be a victor. He paid the price for you to be an overcomer. And you know what? He paid the price on the cross for you to walk in it. And when you practice faith, praise and thanksgiving, rejoicing, you receive peace. You receive His joy. You receive His love. Because that's what He is. And you may be still in the circumstances, but this is a weapon against the enemy. And I want to tell you, even in the midst of your mess, when you're praising and giving thanks, it brings glory to God. And even in the midst of it, I want to tell you what the Bible promises. He inhabits the praise of His people. That's where He hangs out. He's true and faithful. And you're paid for. Okay, just a couple more things. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delighten, gladden yourselves in Him. And again I say rejoice. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:17, and we're going to get more into this next week. But I just want to cover this part with you. For our light, momentary affliction. Wow. This slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory. Glory is His manifested presence. It's the promise of Him. Beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons. Man, does this kind of sound like the message of restoration that we talked about? wow, this is God's heart. All beyond all comparisons, beyond all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. You say, well, Brother Tim, that scripture's wrong for me because I've been fighting something for a year. Well, I want to tell you what the Bible says about it. The Bible says it's temporary. And the Bible says it's light. Oh, Brother Tim, that's wrong because it nearly killed me. Hey, look, we got an opportunity here. You're going to either view it, focus on the problem, or you're going to focus on the promise. You're going to either see it from man's point of view, the enemy's point of view, or you're going to see it from God's point of view. And so you need to make a choice. It need to be a decision. Okay? That you esteem the Lord and disesteem your situation. And when you esteem the Lord, you see God and you see Jesus in action. Okay? But the Bible calls, we better call it what the Bible calls it. You say, well, Brother Tim, it's been 10 years. We better call it what the Bible calls it. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You say, well, it's been 10 years. Well, wait a minute. 10 years is not even a twinkle of the eye when you compare it to eternity. Are you listening? Okay. Paul went through stuff for years. You're going to find out next week. Don't miss it. But I want to tell you, all the stuff he went through, he said it's light affliction compared to the glory. You hear it? And he said it's temporary compared to the glory. And so this is why I'm saying the glory is Jesus. We need to get our focus on Jesus. And it's amazing how we get our focus on him. The things of this world grow strangely dim. Okay. I got to finish with this. We have people in our fellowship that we see the glory of God on. And their affliction is greater than ours. You know, every mule thinks his pack's the heaviest, right? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, we need to get our eyes off the pack and onto Jesus. And don't compare ourselves by ourselves. The Bible says that's foolish to do. But I want to tell you, we need to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I want to tell you, I brag on Jesus and Angelique. Yes. Just give us a wave there, Angelique. Amen. I brag on Jesus and you. Yes. And you know what? I know I'm not bragging on you, but I'm bragging on Jesus and you. But I am saying something to you. Thank you for choosing Jesus. Okay? I want to tell you what this little lady goes through. Okay? I want to tell you, it's more than what your load's got. And I want to tell you, she's been going through it for years. And I want to tell you, going through it in a great sense by herself. But I want to tell you something. There's no one else I know. You have to say, this is Jesus. There's no one else I know that has bulldog faith like she does. And I want to tell you, in spite of what she goes through, what she faces, what she has to do, she puts her eyes on Jesus and she grabs a hold of him and she don't let go. I'm talking bulldog faith. And I want to tell you, with all that she go on, there's no one that I see the glory on any more than Angelique. We know that's Jesus. But I'm telling you, listen, Paul said it. The same glory, the same Jesus that's ministering to him, that's taught him, that's teaching him, that's ministering through him, is ministering through Angelique, can minister through you and me. Yeah. Amen. Am I right? Amen. Hey, in heaven, we're going to be thankful for every little thought that we had about Jesus. Every thought. Malachi, the last of Malachi says this, that he has an angel writing down the thoughts of those who love him. That's the last of Malachi. It's called a book of remembrance because it's very precious to him. And when you speak about him in fellowship and talk about him, it's so precious. He has an angel record the words and the thoughts that you have about him. Because they're precious to him. And you know what? We'll rejoice for all eternity. all eternity, millions and millions of years, for every thought, for every word, for every action you did for Jesus. Now I want to tell you, accepting Christ, there's nothing greater you can do except accept Christ. And it's by grace through faith. You don't earn it, you don't work it, you just receive it. But once you accept Christ, everything you do from then on for Jesus affects eternity. It brings God honor and glory. It affects the saints. There's a whole lot more people watching you. There's a lot more lives affected by you than what you could ever guess, and only heaven will reveal that. Now, you can choose not to do this. But if you don't make a decision and follow through by practicing praise and thanksgiving and fighting the fight to come to rest, to enjoy peace, joy, and love, if you don't do that, all you're going to be aware of in this life is your problems. Now, you're going to heaven. Because I want to tell you, Jesus saves you. He don't change his mind. Aren't we glad? And so, yeah, you go to heaven, but you're going to be miserable as all get out till you get there. Why not enjoy the promises and walk in the faith and bring honor and glory to God and touch others by living the life? That's our calling. And I want to tell you, Romans 8:28 is true. For those who follow His purpose, are you listening? And not for the people that don't follow His purpose. He promises it. He works all things together for good to those who love the Lord and are called, agreeing and walking in His purpose. Now I want to tell you what that says. If you're loving the Lord, you're seeking the Lord, you're practicing, I want to tell you what that means. That means He is behind the scene, taking every event and circumstance, and He's working it out for your good and His glory. Somebody give praise to the Lord. Okay. I want you to just be still before the Lord right now and just put your heart on Him, your heart toward Him. There are people here today and you have needs. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you so much, He wants to touch you right where you are. Today, turn your heart to Him and let Jesus touch you right where you are. There's people here today that need to be healed. You know what? Jesus loves you. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops and make a bunch of loops in order to try to earn it. Jesus loves to love on you. You say, well, I haven't been. Well, He has been. He has been. And so today, turn your heart to Him. Right now, submit your heart to Him. Okay? Let the Lord love on you. You love on the Lord. And let the Lord come and touch you and minister to you. I'm going to have you raise your hand right now. If you have a mountain or you have a need in your life and you want us to agree with you in prayer, because our pastors are going to come and they're going to put their hand on you. And you know what? This is not a counseling hour. This is a prayer time. And you just tell them what your need is. Those that help us pray are going to come. And you just whisper your need. If it's healing, you say healing. Whatever it is. If it's emotional, if it's a struggle, financial, if it's a mountain of some kind, oppression, depression, it don't matter. Jesus paid for it all. And it's His joy to love on you and bless you. It's by grace through faith. Don't come to this today thinking, well, I don't deserve it. None of us do. But Jesus did. He won it for us, so that we can receive it.